Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
All right, let's roll. Vent your rage. The pips, the players, the hustlers, the people that bustle, but everybody else in between. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. We're kicking it in the late night hours, a Sunday night showdown edition of the program. A lot of stuff we've got to get to. Tonight, Big Man on Campus is one of the things we're going to get to this evening. Big Man on Campus, Jeff Nadeau will step up and in. We'll talk NBA basketball. Will there be NBA basketball? Kyrie Irving and others in the National Basketball Association have reservations about playing. And it's kind of ironic because Kyrie Irving doesn't really ever play already as it is. So, like, it's not as if, though, like, Kyrie Irving says he's willing to sacrifice everything for social change. All right, well, how about you give the money back to the Brooklyn Nets? You want to do that? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I get it. You want to make a social stand? Fine. I'm all for social stands. But, you know, for the love of, you know, love of God, do your job. Do your job. Speaking of which, like, Rob Manfred and Major League Baseball owners, they're doing a real job right now, a hatchet job in sabotaging the Major League Baseball season. The players want to play. The players want to play, and, you know, the players, I really don't understand, like, how many times the owners are going to put the same crap-ass proposal back on the table and just, like, word it differently. Like, this isn't on the players, guys. The players want to play. We'll read you the statement from the Major League Baseball Players Association, and, you know, it's amazing, isn't it, as the baseball owners, the other night, Bill DeWitt, the owner of the St. Louis Cardinals, saying, baseball is not even a profitable industry. Guy paid $150 million for the team. They're now worth $2.4 billion. Oh, no, it's not profitable, huh? Not profitable. Turner and TNT just gave you guys another $1 billion for television rights. Can you imagine, like, trying to negotiate with the players and looking at the players with a straight face and saying, you guys got to take 33% of your salary because we don't have any money? But, oh, yeah, just got another $1 billion from Turner. And can you believe the Major League Baseball owners didn't even tell the players about the TV deal? The players found out about the deal in the media. Seriously, that's how much bad faith these guys negotiated. All right, Big Man on Camp's going to step up and invent your rage, Sports Rage, late night. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Rage late night. I am Renzi. Shout out to all of our affiliates kicking it with us in the late night hours. You want to recap what went down earlier in the day, and what went down was a Daniel Berger victory, a big burger barbecue party. And if you tuned into Game Time Decisions with me and Cam Stewart, Cam Stewart had Daniel Berger in the 70-1 range as well. And he also had Morikawa. So he had both guys going into the playoff. Cam's been on fire. You know, we would call him right now to congratulate him and bring him on. But I'm assuming he's probably like 32 beers deep after all the success that he's had. He's been on fire, actually, for like 2 weeks. Yeah, you know, he really has. If you remember, he won like $1,500. He won $1,500 at like Belmont a couple of weeks ago, and it continued. He hit the Santa Anita Derby. He had Kevin Harvick. He's had a couple of NASCAR winners in a row, and it's overshadowing my success because we crushed the UFC on Saturday night. And don't forget, we told you Bryson DeChambeau plus 280 top 10 was basically free money. Should have bet him to finish top five. This guy's like a top five, top 10 machine. Top five, top 10 machine, Bryson DeChambeau. And Denny Hamlin, victorious, NASCAR. And Denny Hamlin wins again. And really, it's the same dudes that win every week, and I'm never on the right guy. You know, the only NASCAR race I hit an Xfinity race as part of the hotness on Game Time Decisions, 12-1 last Monday. Noah Gragson. Time is like kind of, you know, I don't know, man. Time, like some things feel like it was forever ago, and then it feels like it was just yesterday. It's hard to keep up with all these NASCAR races, like, and when it was it last week or 2 nights ago, or I don't know. There's like a NASCAR race every 3 days now. But we hit Noah Gragson at plus 1,200, but we were on Kyle Busch. We took Kyle Busch today. Busch still looking for his first win. We ended up getting Busch in a little in-game betting, plus 700, didn't work out. Busch eventually has got to get a win. It's one of these deals now where I almost just have to keep on pulling the trigger on Kyle Busch because he's too good not to win a race. Like, you know, he's gonna start snapping soon. This guy must be raging, like, that he still can't win. Denny Hamlin seems to win every couple of races. And seriously, if you just take Denny Hamlin every week, you're up nice money. He keeps winning at 10-1, like 8-1. He was 10-1 with the win today. So Daniel Berger wins at 70-1. Denny Hamlin wins at 10-1. Soccer. We'll talk some soccer tonight. MLS. MLS is back. Their tournament. We'll run through the bracket a little bit with Big Man on Campus, who's a big soccer fan. Very, very good soccer bettor. As well, we'll see if Big Man likes anything early this week on in the international soccer scene. And don't forget, the EPL is coming back. La Liga in Spain. La Liga broadcasts are going to have virtual fans filling the stands for their restarted season, and that sucks. Like, you know, there's got to be better ways. You know, it annoys me. Virtual fans is annoying. I don't like it. I'm not a fan of it. Like, really, why do we have to bastardize everything? Like, you know, so La Liga's, you know, they're working with EA Sports, and they're going to have virtual fans. So basically, when you watch the game, it's going to look like there's fans in the stands, and they're going to use, like, the algorithms. They're going to take the real sound of past home games and replicate it, so to speak. Sort of like EA Sports. So, like, when the team is, like, you know, pushing the ball forward, the crowd, the murmur will mimic, like, past times that they push the ball forward. You know what I mean? Like, when they score a goal, the celebration will be the same as, like, you know, past times they've scored goals. They're taking all of their sound from past games and past years, and they're working with EA Sports, who are going to, you know, control the algorithm, so to speak, during the game, right? So it's a corner kick, boom, they have the corner kick sound. You know, for me, I actually like the sounds of the actual sport. You know, I like the sounds of the actual sport. Like, I've enjoyed the UFC without the fans. Like, you really hear the crack of the punches, right? You know, man, sometimes you hear it, man, like the... You hear the fighter hit the mat, you know, you really hear it all. I like the soccer, like the German Bundesliga. I don't understand what they're saying, but I like the soccer where you hear the players talking to each other and yelling, hey, over here, open, you know what I mean? Like, I like hearing all that stuff. If you're a pure sports fan, it's like inside access that we don't normally get. You know what I mean? Like the fans drown out the action. Like it for the UFC. The UFC to me on TV is better without fans. And same thing, it would be real cool. Like NFL football, you know, NFL football is going to go down this same route. I bet you NFL football, they're going to have virtual fans and stuff. I don't know. Like maybe, you know, I think they want to have real fans, but I don't think that's going to happen. The coronavirus isn't gone. It's not really like a second wave. It's like the same wave. Like multiple states are spiking right now. People are in denial about it just because they're tired of staying home all the time. All right. So baseball players are staying home right now. And to say this thing is ugly, yeah, that's that would be an understatement with baseball. Like, I cannot like fathom even that these guys are trying to negotiate and the Major League Baseball owners don't think that, you know what? Maybe we should tell these guys that we have a $1 billion television contract that's going to be announced in 2 days. Like, that's how little of a partnership, and that's how little respect the owners have for the Major League Baseball players. So they've given them 3 proposals, guys. They're all the same proposal. Like, we've been over this. On May 26th, they offered him an 82 games with a sliding salary scale, which works out to roughly 33% of their season salary. On June 8th, they came back and they said, all right, well, let's play 76 games at a 75% prorated pay. That's 35% of the season salary. Then their third proposal was 72 games at 80% prorated pay, which was 36% of their season salary. And Rob Manfred has the audacity to say that the players are not negotiating in good faith. We've offered them 3 deals and they've turned them all down. No, you've offered them 1 crap ass deal, repackaged it. You can call it whatever you want. 82 games, sliding this, 76 games, 75% that, 72 games, 80% prorated pay. Either way, it's 33%, 35%, and 36%. And these guys said, no, baseball, we don't even make money. What do you mean you don't make money? If you don't make money, you guys are all on the team. And if the sport doesn't make money, why did Turner give you $1 billion? Like, the timing cannot be worse for this. And I actually wonder about this, actually, too. Like, if you're the television networks that have paid baseball big money for baseball, I'm actually surprised that ESPN and Turner haven't pressured Major League Baseball and told them, listen, we paid you a lot of money for games, whether there's fans or there or not. We don't care. We want the games we paid for. You know what I mean? Like, so think about it. Like, the owners get the money from the networks. They keep the money. They're not playing games, and they don't want to give the money to the player to the games. Like, and now they got another $1 billion for a sport that's not even playing. Like, what world are we living in? It's like the Twilight Zone here. It's like the freaking Twilight Zone. So you guys take billions of dollars for television rights. You don't want to pay the players. And now you get another $1 billion to extend a deal with Turner. And then you sit down at the table and you tell the players, yeah, we don't make any money in this. Like, it's a losing business, losing. Like, honestly. You know, like those looters in New York City and in the Rolls Royce that were robbing other looters. Those guys have more credibility and are more honest than Major League Baseball owners. Like, I trust those looters in New York City more than I do Bill DeWitt and the St. Louis Cardinals and the rest of his cronies. Sports Rage Late Night. Bet your rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career.
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Sports Rage Late Night continues. I am Renzi. Vent your rage. And there's a lot of rage to vent right now about Major League Baseball and the owners. Like, it really is. As I was just saying, if you're just joining us, I'm talking about the Major League Baseball owners and their audacity in which they continuously come back to the table with the same piece of crap deal. 33-35% of their salary. So you guys wanted to play half of a season of baseball for 33% of their salary in the middle of a pandemic. And, oh, yeah, you want them to sign a waiver saying if you get coronavirus, you're on your own. And how about this, too, Ohio State? Ohio State making their football players sign a waiver as well. If they get coronavirus, they're on their own. Like, honestly, like, I guess nothing should surprise me anymore. So these kids, they play for free for you. You don't pay them. You, like, suspend them for getting a free taco or, like, smoking a bowl at a party like any other, like, college kid does. Like, you basically terrorize these kids' lives. You don't pay them any money. You make billions of dollars. Billions of dollars. And now you're telling them, oh, yeah, by the way, if you get sick, it's not our responsibility. Like, yeah, you know, it's amazing. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. If I was a stud, listen, football, you don't have a choice, man. You can't just not play. You know what I mean? Basketball, there's no other way to get better in football. Basketball, there is no way in hell I would play college basketball. If I'm like a blue chipper coming out of high school, no way in hell. I'm going to the NBA G League. I'm going to Europe. I don't care. I'm just training for a year and getting ready for the draft. Let's bring in Big Man on Campus right now. Jeff Nadeau, Big Man, nobody loves college basketball as much as you do, but I actually wonder about the future of this sport. We've already seen 3-4 kids go to the NBA G League. These guys are paying $300,000 to $500,000. They'll also provide a college education for you as well. I just don't see why any kid would want to go play for free anymore. Like, the NCAA better change their ways. Otherwise, they're going to be extinct soon, bro.
Yeah, I think, look, mid-major basketball is not ever going to be affected by this. But you're right. I mean, if you're a high-level top 15 player, money talks. And we've said that many times on this show. Yeah, I think they have a problem. They realize that. And, you know, they can really – the G League and some of these other leagues can offer them something the college can't. Kids nowadays, I mean, it's not about going and getting an education. It's going out and making as much money as you can, as quick as you can, and we're already seeing it. So, yeah, they have a problem. They're going to have to fix it.
No, but I do agree, too, and I think it affects the big-time powerhouses more than, as Big Man just stated, the mid-majors. You know what I mean? Like, suddenly, Duke's not automatically going to get that blue chipper now. Kentucky's not going to get the blue chipper suddenly. Kansas... So they could still potentially get the best of the remaining players. But I think actually in the big picture, Big Man, it'll be fun for college basketball because a lot of teams, like you said, like the mid-major type of teams, the teams that are going to have guys that aren't going to the NBA, that are there for 4 years playing together now, they're going to be good teams. It's going to be good basketball to watch. But, I, you know, it's just the sort of like let's say out of the top 10 players every year, probably like five of them are going to bypass college now moving forward. But college basketball won't class. But the NCAA, like we see, there's people want change everywhere right now, right? In the real world and in the sports world as well. And the NCAA has always just been very, very patronizing and condescending about paying the kids and letting them, yeah, we'll look into that in 2023, like they're being nice. Now I think they're starting to realize we better look into this fast. And we're seeing state after state actually pass laws saying that the kids can make money off of their name and their likeness. The system, like the real world, big man, the NCAA, they're going to have to change.
And it's interesting, too, because you look at, you mentioned how a lot of the blue chip programs are going to struggle. And not only are they going to struggle on this level, but you look at recruiting in general. I mean, they could always fall back on the fact that, if worst comes to worst, they could just offer a bag to one of these players. You look at the top 10 recruits in the country this year coming into college basketball, just two of those are going to a major basketball school. Both are going to Kentucky. The rest of them are going to Gonzaga, Florida State, Oklahoma State, Stanford. So, some of the schools that you're kind of on the second level, they're starting to win in recruiting now, which it kind of levels the playing field. So I think basketball going forward is going to be a lot less top heavy because you're starting to see a lot of these kids that are really high level either go to the league or, kind of space out the recruiting. And now you're seeing, Gabe, I saw that in 2023, one of the big time recruits is a young kid now, but he's talked about going to the HBCU
yes,
route, which I don't know if that will work and will continue, but all these schools are starting to get on level playing fields. And I think that is good for college basketball.
I've actually always wondered that. I've always wondered why one Black Heritage University couldn't load up. Like, you know what I mean? And, basically tell players, listen, you want to go play for this guy and make him millions of dollars? Like, the system, you want to support this system? And, let's put our money where our mouths are, guys. Let's do this for Grambling. You know what I'm saying? Let's do this for Howard. Let's go. And, like you said, if it only takes a few big men. You get one kid, he can't change it. You get two, three, almost Fab Five-ish big man going back to UI with Michigan. But you know what I mean? Let's say they get four of the top 10 kids and say, you know what? I'm going to play for a black college. I'm not going to go play for Coach K for free. I'm going to this black school now. It could shake the foundation. That will scare the hell out of the power schools too.
It's tough because, you look at the current landscape of the NBA. There's only two players in the NBA that went to HBCUs. They're not actually, they're not great schools to go to the next level. And you also have to realize, this. I mean, they don't exactly have the best facilities. They have to travel on buses and commercial and that kind of stuff.
Well, that's just where, only one school, like the boosters. They need some boosters to put some money into this,
sure,
right?
Sure, they would have to have, obviously a lot of endowment. And a lot of those schools, the Coppin States and the MEACs and those schools, they have to pay for play games to even survive. So, I mean, it would be great, and I'd love to see it happen. But to think that it will, I would love to see it. But, I mean, you look at – Gabe, could you guess the two players that are HBCUers that are in the NBA? Do you know them?
No. When you said there's only two guys – I'm sure once you say their names, they'll be like, oh, yeah, okay. But who are they?
Actually remember these guys. So one of them is Kyle O'Quinn. He played at Norfolk State. He plays for the Knicks.
Then
Robert Covington, who went to Tennessee State.
Covington, huh?
Yeah.
Your boy, your favorite Sixer from the old days.
Yeah. One of my favorite all-timers, yeah.
You have his jersey, right, on the wall?
Oh, yeah.
The big man used to rip that guy all the time. He doesn't suck, though. Yeah, I know you did. So speaking of the NBA, Kyrie Irving and others, but specifically Kyrie Irving is leading a charge in trying to get the players not to play due to, because it would distract. It would distract from the protest. It would distract from the movement that is going on right now. And I just can't believe it, big man. That think about so we have this virus, man. We're all in lockdown. It shafts everyone's lives up and screws everyone. You know what I mean? It's a big shaft. We go through this, and I remember the first day of protest, somebody tweeted, they said, oh, God, man,
do we go from like every day of coronavirus to like every day of protest now, like for the rest of the summer? And it went from like open up. Now nobody wants to open anything up anymore. Nobody wants to like go back to do it. It's like, no, I'm not doing that. Screw that. I'm not doing this anymore. Like everyone's got attitude now about everything. Like every little thing is like a debate and an argument now, big man, with everybody all the time. And it's like, all right, guys, I totally understand it. And I've said it before. Sports is a distraction, and being distracted sort of put us in the position that we're in right now. But for the love of God, big man, it's July 31st they're starting. So what? You guys never playing basketball again because somebody got killed in Minneapolis? I know it sucks. All right? There is change being made. Like, I don't understand the thought process of it. And it's going to get shot down because you know who runs the league as much as I do when it comes to the players, big man. And that's the so-called king in Los Angeles right now, LeBron James. And you notice you haven't heard LeBron talking about sitting anything out. And in fact, I know Dwight Howard's talking about it, but I know that the Lakers and LeBron, they're not on board for this we're not playing thing. I know the Toronto Raptors aren't on board for this we're not playing thing either. So Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant and whoever, you guys can lead your little protests and stuff, but it to me, it would make much more sense. You play the games, you demand public service announcements, you demand airtime during the games for commercials and statements and different charitable causes that you want to promote. There's a lot of positive things they can do. Not playing is just stupid, in my opinion, big man. What's your take?
Yeah, I mean, and this is something that I think once you kind of gain some kind of knowledge on what's going on, you kind of just quickly learn that it's, it's Kyrie Irving, as usual. You know, it's something that, this guy just loves to start drama. He loves to see things kind of the way he wants them. And, Gabe, you look back at June 5th. Okay, that's 10 days ago as of, 30 minutes ago, basically. He talked about being in Orlando to support his teammates, even though he wasn't going to play. Now, all of a sudden, it's, I don't want to play, and we got to think about what's going on here. It's all about him. I mean, that's who he is. That's what he's always been about. It's just about him. And look, 95% of the league will play. He's not going to shut the league down. They'll play. They'll be there.
Carmelo, I don't know if I want to play. I didn't even know you were still in the league, Melo. All right, yeah, we'll take a quick break. More with Big Man on the other side. Is Melo still in the NBA?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
SportsGrid late night. I am Renzi. We're kicking it with Big Man on campus. 844-843-6879. 844-843-679. The pipelines. We might get to them a little bit later on. All right, Big Man on campus with us right now. We're just talking about the NBA. And listen, July 31st is a long time away. They left themselves too time. I know, Big Man, you've wondered why they couldn't come back a little bit quicker. I agree. I think July 1st would have been a little bit too quick to pull up. You look at MLS. The NBA is at the MLS, but the MLS. They put it together, and they made their announcement, and boom, July 8th coming back. I thought the NBA could have come back in mid-July as well. And what happens is the NBA said, well, we don't know what's going to happen in the future, so we'll give ourselves a little leeway in between now and our start. You gave yourselves too much leeway. Like, the way things 2020 are going, big man, there'd probably be like a nuclear, like, bomb or something go off before July 31st now. Like, God knows what's going to happen before July 31st, big man. The way this year's going, come on, man. Nothing's surprising anymore.
No, that was kind of my thing. I mean, why not start it, July 10th, or something like that? It's way too long. I mean, and it's going to, then it's going to kind of bleed into the other sports. I mean, you really had the opportunity to kind of control it and say, there's nothing going on. July could be our month, and what would be better? It'd be awesome. Following all that playoff basketball, it'd be the only thing on. It'd be perfect. But, I guess we can wait a little bit longer. I mean, we've waited long enough. It seems like it's never going to come. But, you know, I just hope it comes and we have it and we at least have that, because, you know, we're not going to have much until, you know, unless, you know, that baseball, I think they're going to be forced to play at some point. So it'll come back. But yeah, I would have liked to have seen it maybe, you know, the first, you know, second week of July. I think that would have worked.
Yeah, the baseball, I think they will play. The owners are trying to run the clock out, right? They don't want to pay the players.
Yep. With baseball, real quick, if it is 50 games, that's going to be sweet. I got to tell you right now, every game's going to mean something. It's going to be better than nothing. I think we just have to
take every underdog, big man. If there's a 50-game season, yeah. I think I might take every underdog in every game. I'm dead serious. It'll be like a betting experience.
Yeah,
every underdog in every game, big man. You know what I mean? It's like, who knows? I don't know.
I don't disagree.
In a 50-game span last year, big man, get this. The Washington Nationals went 19-31. And it's through a 50-game span last year. The Nationals only won 19 games. San Francisco went 34-16 or something in a 50-game run last year. Like, I'm dead serious. Yeah. If they do play 50 games, I'm going to take, like, the Toronto Blue Jays, the Chicago White Sox, San Diego. I'm going to take, like,
Seattle.
Those sort of – yeah. Well, Seattle are just too terrible, though. Seattle are 500-1, big man, to win a World Series.
I think they're the worst team in the league. They're horrific. That lineup is laughable.
Terrible. Terrible. Like, I'm talking about, like, look, the Blue Jays can mash, bro. They've got some serious
wood. You're saying stay away from Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and Seattle.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm saying stay away. Look, I'm a Dodger fan. I know you're a Yankee guy. It puts teams like the Dodgers and Yankees at a disadvantage. Aaron Judge is cold, man, for a month. Well, that's the season, bro. It's over. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that's
like, you know?
You're right. You're going to go with, like, the middle tier team, you know, the Phillies, the Mets, the Cardinals. Yeah, I agree with you on that. It'll be cool. I mean, it'll definitely be something where everything means something. It's not, I mean, we can all agree 162 games is a lot of games. It's not going to be perfect, but, you know, I think if they could conceivably start, you know, let's say July 10th, I mean, that would be, I'd be good with that. You know, the dog days of summer would kind of be filled now. We got a bridge till football, and let's get going. Let's play.
They've screwed themselves, like, for so long. Yeah, they put themselves. Really, I think if they play, I think it will start August. They'll play, play 56 games, August, September, and then boom, there's the season. You go into the playoffs. Yeah. I think that's their plan, basically. Like, the owners, they keep coming back with the same proposal all the time, and it's always the same amount of money. So they can call it whatever they want. They only seem to want to pay these guys $1.3 billion of salary.
It also didn't help that they signed a multi-billion dollar TV deal a couple days ago.
Believe these guys? Like, big man, that's like owing someone money, and you get, like, a job that pays, like, $8 million a year, and you tell them, I don't have any money.
Yeah, you win the lottery.
Like, I saw the announcement on TV. You won the lottery. No, I don't want to. We're broke. No, like, we don't have anything. Like, can you believe that? Like, baseball has been the Cardinals. Oh, we don't even make a profit in this industry. It's like, what the hell are you guys talking about? Like, really? And you don't even tell the players about the money. You don't even tell the players.
I mean, it's kind of odd that they keep bringing up money, because, like, last year, I think the Major League Baseball made like $10 billion. So, they're not really struggling. So, it's ridiculous.
$10.9 billion. Yeah, they brought in $10.9 billion last year, and they only pay $4.1 billion in salary. Like, think about that, guys.
So you could do that. So, you could do the math there.
You do the math, and so the owners, they say they're losing. Basically, the owners are losing $4 billion without fans and everything, the whole thing. All right. So you got $11 billion. You're only paying $4 billion. So you still make $3 billion. You still make money. You're not even losing money. Like, I don't know what you're like. No. It's like, no. Like, it's like Mr. Burns Simpson stuff. It really is. It's like a parallel, like, Twilight Zone universe these guys live in.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you always chalk it up to they're not billionaires because they're stupid. But yeah, I mean, you look at $3 billion divided by, you know, 30 teams. I mean, you're still going to make $100 million a team. So I don't, And that's after a cancel. You know, I don't know the math. I could be way wrong there with what they're actually going to make. But, yeah, I mean, it's not like they're, you know, no one's going to feel sorry for them. I mean, we just need to get back. We need to get something back. And, look, the MLB is going to play. And they have to. They're not going to just sit out. It's not going to happen. So I think we'll get 50 games, and I think everyone will mean something.
Big Man on Campus kicking it with a shout-out to everybody in our live chat right now. I see the Pimps, the Players, the Hustlers are all stepping up and in. Joey Odessa in the house, our boy Shell Dog. We got everybody all over the place. L.A., Shell Dog, Los Angeles, Joey Odessa, Orlando, Florida repping. We've got Toronto, home of the NBA champion, Raptors in the house, our main man. And Big Man on Campus's main man, Brian Rowe, kicking it in New Jersey. Our main man, Rowe's in the chat.
I don't know about that, but he's a nice guy. But I don't know about that, but yeah, I hear you.
Rowe and Big Man have had some exchanges.
No,
but who hasn't?
He tells me he's coming to a game, then he just doesn't show up. I mean, it's like, okay.
But he stiffed you. You guys went to a temple. Oh, you guys went to a temple game before, right?
Yeah, but he also is like said he's gonna come, and then he just like thinks that I'm gonna give him free seats, and like just like, come on, Ro.
Maybe Ro can call in after. He can give his side of the story if he wants. All right, so Big Man, before we get you out of here, MLS. I'm actually excited about this MLS tournament. It starts July 8th. In Orlando. And, you know, I tell you what, a team in your backyard, Philadelphia, man, it is a pretty good soccer team this year, Big Man. A lot of people think that they have a chance to go pretty far in this tournament. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough. I mean, I think, the grouping, we talked about the grouping the other night. It's pretty cool. You know, I like the World Cup kind of style. You know, Philadelphia is a good team. I mean, they're well coached. They're really good all around, but I'm kind of looking at other teams. I talked to you about the Toronto FC. I really like that group. Out the door is really good.
Yeah,
they're versatile. They're deep. They got a really good group of wingers as well. But I think it's going to go through obviously the LAFC. LAFC is the best team. I mean, it's not even close. I mean, they're stacked. They might set up. You know, they could set a record for points. I don't know how many games they'll even lose. They're really good. They still have the same players as last year. They actually added Bradley Wright Phillips, who played for the Red Bulls last year. So they're really good. So yeah, for me, I'm not picking against LAFC, but if I had to pick them at least, I would look at either Toronto or Columbus is pretty good. Columbus will be a kind of a dark horse sleeper.
You know, it's going to be, I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. And you mentioned LAFC, a group with Portland, Houston, and the Galaxy, LA. So LAFC, Portland, Houston, and LA.
They'll run that group.
Move on.
They'll run that group.
And you look at Philadelphia's group, though, here, Big Man. The Union in Big Man on Campus's backyard, although they're going to be playing in Orlando, obviously. They got a pretty favorable group here, too. They're gonna run their way through this. You got all these expansions and stuff in here, you know? Inter Miami, student name. Inter Miami. Chicago, Nashville, Orlando. Listen, Orlando. Do you think it matters? You know, Orlando's playing at home at all? Like, you know, will they be adjusted because of the heat? I don't think it means anything. Do you?
No, I mean, there's not going to be any. You know, there's no fans or anything, so I don't think that will matter. But you know, Orlando's a team that they've struggled over the years defensively. I mean, Dom Dwyer's really good. They have some really good players there. That's a pretty bad group. I mean, the Union should be able to take care of business there. I mean, you have, like you said, you have Nashville, Inter Miami, Chicago sucks. Red Bulls aren't what they were. The Union should win that. But Orlando could kind of throw a little chink in the armor there. They have a pretty solid team, good goal scorer.
And we can't forget about a team. People don't talk about them, but a team right now in my backyard, not the Whitecaps. The Whitecaps, that would be a big upset if the Whitecaps do anything in this tournament. But Seattle, the defending MLS champion, Seattle are just good all the time, Big Man. They're just good. You know, they're just there as one of the most consistent, strongest franchises in the MLS.
No, they are. I mean, it seems like they're always really a solid team. They have a good group with, you know, Ladero in the midfield. You remember Clint Dempsey played there for, you know, a lot of years. You know, they're always good defensively.
Always good defensively. It's good. Yeah, hard to score on these guys all the time.
If I had to pick, and I, you know, look, I'm not picking against LAFC in the West, but if I had to, it would be the Seattle Sounders, or, you know, Sporting Kansas City is always really solid. But yeah, LAFC is going to be a real tough out. They're really good. I think they're the Atlanta United of previous years. I mean, remember Atlanta United was just beating everyone. Yep. They're scoring a ton of goals. I think that's what, you know, LAFC is real good.
They're still good, Atlanta too. We can't discount Atlanta either. Not like Atlanta can't win.
Oh, they have Martinez still. I mean, he's still, you know, arguably the best player in the league. So yeah, I mean, they've lost some guys, but. And they're not going to have the crowd to fall back on. They had a great atmosphere there. And that was a great place to play. They always kind of had it rolling. So, yeah. They'll be
TFC,
a
TFC are going to be in the mix too, guys. And, you know, TFC is owned, same ownership group as owns the Raptors. Got to give them credit, man. They're doing a great job. Like, you know, TFC won, but they revamped and retooled their roster. They have a legitimate chance of winning again. They have a shot coming into this. I'd like to see the Montreal Impact do well here, but, you know, I'll tell you what, with the Impact games, take the over. We'll be betting the overs of the Montreal Impact games. We look forward to it. We look forward to having Big Man on Campus back as well. You can find him on Twitter, Big Man on Campus, at Jeff Nadeau. Big Man, it's always a pleasure, bro. Thanks for the time.
Thank you, my friend. Talk to you soon.
There's Big Man on Campus bringing it on a Sunday night. Sports Rage Late Night continues.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
One thing, it's another thing when it comes to Major League Baseball. A judge rules about Aaron Judge. A judge rules that a letter from Rod Manfred to the New York Yankees must be unsealed and disclosed to the public, as there are reports and allegations, allegedly. We don't know the full details, right? We don't know the extent of this, but basically there's a letter from the commissioner, Rob Manfred, to the New York Yankees telling them to stop stealing signs. That basically that it come to Major League Baseball's attention that the New York Yankees were also stealing signs in a over-the-top manner in the same way other teams have been caught, i.e. like the Astros, the Red Sox, and you know what, guys? They were all doing it, man. Like, listen, not everybody had, like, garbage cans and banging and stuff like the Houston Astros did, but it's no secret. It's no secret. You know, Joe Girardi even slipped up. You remember a couple of months ago? It feels like it was, like, years ago. It was probably about 6 months ago, whenever it was. You guys remember? He goes, well, we had a system where we used to... he realized that he was talking and admitting that he was, like, cheating. And he sort of just tailed off. And that's how we caught on to them. Right? He sort of changed the subject. But everybody knows the Toronto Blue Jays have been accused. The Dodgers have been accused. Everyone's been accused of this. But Houston Astro players went to Twitter right away. And they were all laughing at Aaron Judge. They're like, bro, you know what? You ripped us pretty good. Now what? Turns out you're stealing signs? I want to see this letter. So we'll see the Yankees and it's sort of leaking out there that, oh, there's not a lot to see here. It's not a major scandal or anything, but, you know, let's read the letter, right? But let's see the letter. And we'll decide for ourselves. Sports Rage Late Night, 844-843-6879. That's 844-843-6879. We'll hit the pipelines. Level 2 coming up. Bring it.
Thank you.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.